It's a done deal because of God's character. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. What an encouraging statement. Our sanctification is not dependent upon us, but upon a faithful God. Faithful is he who calls you.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today you'll finish up your look at sanctification.
Indeed we will, Dave. And today's teaching is very encouraging. So if you want to be greatly encouraged, stay with us and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're looking at verses 23 to 24.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
James talks about the wisdom which comes from his word. He says it's first peaceable. In James 3:18, he says, "And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Brothers and sisters, when we abide in Christ and his word abides in us, and then we function in the context of righteousness, there's peace. Righteousness and peace go hand in hand. Sin and discord and difficulty go hand in hand. In Hebrews chapter 12, speaking of God's discipline upon us, the fruit of those who have been trained by it is the peaceful fruit of righteousness. You see, when God enables you, when you trust in him to do the right thing, there's peace in that. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. Now Paul's inspired desire here is that the goal would be brought about. Sanctify you entirely. It's an interesting word here, this word translated entirely, holo, telos. Telios means complete or finished. Jesus said, telestai, it is finished. Telios, holo, telo means holy, complete. Holy, complete. Complete in all respects. Through and through. It speaks of quality, not quantity. Complete in all respects, all the way through. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, all the way through. And you might remember, I mentioned earlier, and we all know this, we are not sanctified all the way through yet. There are spots and places that God is still working on. You can hear the hammers and the saws, right? And it doesn't sound good at times, and it hurts. He's still working on us. But here is God's inspired desire for us. May he sanctify you completely. And we're going to see that this is a goal that God is bringing us unto, which we will experience when we see him. That's when it's going to happen. This speaks of the church being presented to Christ in all her glory, having no spot and wrinkle in any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. God's will is for us to be conformed to the image of Christ. Conformed to the image of Christ. We were predestined to do so. Romans 8:29. So Paul says, may God fully complete the job. May he fully complete the job. And guess what we're going to see? It's going to happen because faithful is he who called you, and he will bring it to pass. Entirely. Remember Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Again, it is so easy to be discouraged in the midst of all that goes on when we fail. Not talking about rebels, talking about those who want to follow Jesus and are failing. He's working those things out. It's going to be brought to an end. It will be complete. You will be set apart completely from sin in every manner. That day will come. You'll be set apart. It's hard to imagine it, isn't it? It's hard to imagine it. But we have a taste of it as the Lord changes us, don't we? We have a taste in the areas that he's changing in us. And we can see his work. We can see that good work that he's doing in us. We have a taste of it. Folks, by his great power, this is what's going to happen. We're going to be complete when we're glorified. We're going to be made like Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Paul says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of power that he has even to subject all things to himself. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared what we shall be. This is what Paul's talking about, what we shall be, by the way. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him. That's speaking of holiness, fully sanctified, because we shall see him just as he is. 1 John 3, 3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. By God's great power, we will be made like Christ. We will be sanctified entirely through and through. It's going to happen. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. We're not there, but God is working on us. We are holy in bits and pieces, but when we are finished, we will be holy through and through. Don't get discouraged. Be encouraged. God will complete the job. But within that, remember, for our current sanctification, it is God who does the work. You can't sanctify yourself, but God, through his word, by his spirit, changes our hearts and enables us then to trust him and obey him. Now notice, not only are we going to be sanctified entirely, but we're going to be kept blameless when Jesus comes, preserved blameless. This is quite an interesting statement. Verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have the second part. And may your spirit, soul, body be preserved complete without blame. And notice the timing, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is interesting because Paul uses the phrases spirit, soul, and body. And at this point, we don't have time to get into a theological debate, the dichotomy, trichotomy debate concerning man. Is man two parts or three parts? It's actually a difficult question to answer, by the way. And the reason is throughout Scripture, we see man described in two parts. And usually we see it body and soul or body and spirit. They're usually used interchangeably. So we see that throughout. But yet in our passage here and in Hebrews chapter 4:12, we have a statement here, like in Hebrews 4:12, that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as, which means it's really far, of the division of soul and spirit. So it seems that there is a division between soul and spirit. They're very similar, but as you go down really far, there is a division. So how does that work? I don't understand it. So what is Paul trying to say here? I think he's pointing to the fact that our complete being is going to be preserved blameless. The immaterial, body and soul, and the material too, body. Very interesting, because we know if we die, our body goes in the grave, corrupted by sin, decaying in the ground, and we go to be with the Lord. But then when he comes back, he brings us with him and he raises us and we're glorified. That's the time when he comes back that we are changed. When the Lord comes. And that's what he says at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord comes. So I believe he's speaking of everything, every part of us. And I think that's actually reinforced by what he says. And I like the actual New King James version here better. The way they translate it says, now may your whole spirit. So the word complete really translates spirit, soul, and body. May your whole spirit. And the word here is holokleron. The whole means like the complete portion. Kleron means parts. May all your parts, the whole thing, be preserved, literally preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes, you will be blameless in every single part. It's quite an amazing thought. The preservation of keeping us blameless. The term blameless is a legal term. It speaks of no valid accusation. And in Christ right now, we are blameless in a sense because of the forgiveness of sins. When we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. In position, we are blameless. But I'll tell you, I'm not blameless when I sin. In that moment, I can be blamed for it accurately, right? Yes, it's forgiven, but I'm not clean from sin. I'm still sinning, right? I mean, if I yell at my wife or say something, I'm not blameless in that moment, practically speaking. Yes, in position I'm blameless, but I'm not. But when Christ comes, my whole being, body, soul, and spirit, will be kept blameless. Blameless, that means there's no valid accusation, which means there's no sin. Tremendous reality. And the more I get older in Christ, the more I realize what a sinner I am. And how much I look forward to that day when He makes me like His Son Jesus completely. You see, right now, my spirit and my soul, they've been saved. My soul's been saved. I've been redeemed. My body hasn't yet. As Paul would say, whom will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that will happen when Christ comes. And so I mentioned it earlier in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Christ is going to come for His church. Those who are alive and remain, we see 1 Thessalonians 4, will be changed and caught up in the air and reunited with all their loved ones. Those who come with Christ, the souls will be united with their bodies and changed immediately, resurrected. And so we have this tremendous reality. Sanctification is God's work, and He's going to do it. It's going to be complete. Someday, it's going to be completely done. And you got to ask the question, why is Paul telling us this in the end of the book? Why is he telling us this after giving us 22 commands? Because we need to understand God is going to complete the work. Because as we go out to obey God, we realize how sinful and how short we fall. And we need to keep our eyes on the goal of what God has promised. Pressing forward towards the goal, the upward call of Christ. Pressing forward to what God has called us to. Not functioning in the context of looking at ourselves and our failures or whatever it might be. But confessing, being right with Him, being made more like Christ. Because God's going to do this. Notice verse 24. It's a done deal because of God's character. Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass. What an encouraging statement. Our sanctification is not dependent upon us, but upon a faithful God. Faithful is He who calls you. You see, God called us into relationship with Him. He called us into fellowship with His Son Jesus, 1 Corinthians 1:9. We were called out of darkness into His marvelous light, 1 Peter 2. He did it through the gospel. We were called, as I read it earlier in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, that we were called by the gospel. And actually, we'll read that verse again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2:13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And it was for this He called you through the gospel. That what? You may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this passage is talking about. We're going to be glorified without sin. And I tell you, it's discouraging at times. But God has us on track, and it's going to happen. We are on our way. Because faithful is He who calls you. He's faithful. You see, we've been called with a heavenly calling. He's called us with a holy calling. He has called us unto Himself. Literally, faithful, the one calling you. Faithful, it's emphatic. Faithful. You can just scream it and then say the one calling you. God is faithful. He's faithful in finishing the job, and He's faithful in the job He's doing right now. He's faithful. It doesn't rest on you, it rests on Him. And we are not faithful until we abide in the faithful God. It's His faithfulness manifest in us. Faithful is the one calling you. Moses declared his faithfulness in Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God. He's the faithful God. David speaks of His immeasurable faithfulness in Psalm 36, verse 5. The loving kindness, O Lord, Thy loving kindness extends to the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches to the skies. Jeremiah shares about God's faithfulness even in the midst of His severe discipline upon Israel. The Lord's loving kindness is indeed never cease, Lamentations 3:22. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. We've got to get our eyes off of ourselves and onto a faithful God. He's faithful. The Apostle Paul says God is faithful, 1 Corinthians 10:13, to deliver us from temptation. He's faithful. God is faithful. He'll share later on to the Thessalonians in the second letter in chapter 3 that He is faithful to strengthen and protect us. He is faithful. He says, 1 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We know that he is faithful even when we are faithless. 2 Timothy 2:11. Even when we fail, he's still faithful. When we're faithless, he's faithful. He cannot deny himself. It's his character. Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith. Verse 22, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. His faithfulness is manifest in him keeping his word. Someone who is faithful keeps their word. Someone who is faithful does what they say. He's faithful. Faithful is the one calling you. He's faithful. It's going to happen. If he promised it, it's going to happen. That's why you can trust him in everything he says. And our problem usually is we don't trust him. We don't believe what he has said from the heart. We may believe it theologically, but we don't believe it from the heart. We don't trust in him. And notice what he says. Faithful is he who calls you. So get your eyes off yourself and your eyes on him, because he's faithful. And he will bring it to pass. Our sanctification rests on God's faithfulness, not ours. Now, I'm not saying we're not to be faithful, but our faithfulness comes when his faithfulness is manifest in us, when we trust him. It doesn't rely on you. It relies on a faithful God. God will do it. He's going to sanctify you completely. You in every part will be blameless before him when Jesus comes. And again, I think we're willing to admit we can't glorify ourselves, right? We can't cause ourselves to be sanctified fully. Why do we think we can cause ourselves to be sanctified right now? It's all God. Paul's desire is based on God's complete faithfulness. He says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus. That is his desire for us, that this will happen. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Tremendous passage. God is the one doing all the work. So that brings up the question, if God is doing all the work, what am I to do? If God does it all and I don't do it, what do I do? If this process is assured, if I've come to faith, that this is going to happen, the completion is going to happen, why then does it matter what I do right now? Why do I need to cooperate right now? Well, first of all, as we've seen earlier in 1 Thessalonians, it is his will for us to be sanctified right now. That's his will. And if you've been changed, you're going to want to do his will. You're going to want to do what he wants you to do. There's not going to be resistance. You're not going to say, you know, since he's going to do it and complete it, I don't need to do it now. I'm just going to go out and send it up because he'll get it done. Maybe that reveals that you don't know the Lord, because you have a heart of a non-believer in that statement. May you never think that way. You see, God is gracious and he's kind, and he is using this process of sanctifying us to build us up right now to a goal of sanctifying us completely. And our hearts should be changed. It should motivate us to desire to cooperate in that. As I mentioned earlier in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet appeared what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him. That's what we just read about. He's going to do it. Completely, through and through, because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Our future glory motivates us to be more like Christ right now. And there's one other thing, reason why we should want to do it. What happens to us now affects our eternity. Yes, we will be completely sanctified, but what we do now does affect our eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 makes it clear that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may be recompensed for the deeds in the body, whether good or evil. It's not sins taken care of, but what we do now in Christ matters. What we do. When we abide in him and trust in him, there's reward. When we don't, there's loss. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It does matter what you do right now. It does matter. But the amazing thing is, if you just give up completely and let Christ work through you, then he's going to use you greatly. You're going to be rewarded, and he'll complete the job. And by the way, there's peace in the midst of that rather than trouble and difficulty. So what are we to do knowing that he's faithful and will do it through us? We need to yield to him. yield. Just give up. Yield to his will. Yield first of all by renewing your mind, allowing his word to work in your heart, to change your heart. He's working on us. He'll complete it. Romans chapter 12. He's using every circumstance and every situation to make us more like his son. That's what he's doing. Secondly, we need to yield by relying on him rather than self. You see, that's one of our problems, is we rely on ourselves. Trust Christ to do it completely. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 17, one of our last passages here, Jeremiah 17. I'm just going to read verse 5, and then I'll read verse 7. Jeremiah 17. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. You're cursed if you trust in man. And then go down to verse 7, and he shows the consequences. On verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. Trust in Jesus. Rely on him in everything you do at your job. You trust him. Lord God, help me to be the best employee I can, to do my work unto you heartily. Lord God, help me to be a godly husband. Help me to do the right thing. Help me to respond rightly when I'm sinned against. Help me to respond rightly when I sin. Lord God, help me. I need your help, and I trust you. I trust you to work through me. I trust you to change me. And I'm so thankful you're going to complete the job. Yield to God. Yield. Give up. Some of you are not yielding at all. Give up completely to Christ. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. Trying to fix problems in relationships, give up to Christ completely, which means you got to give up your will and your way. And after you renewed your mind, step out in obedience and trust the Lord by faith and do what he says, by his strength. And lastly, we're not glorified. We're going to fail. We're going to sin. Confess sin right away. When you blow it, we blow it. Confess it. Acknowledge it. Confession, homologia, means to speak the same thing. Now, sometimes I could go, Lord, I did this, this, and this. And I'm not saying the same thing God says about it, because I have a different view. I don't think it's as bad as what he thinks. No, say the same thing. My anger is very evil, Lord God. My attitude towards my spouse is evil. My attitude towards these people who are being evil is wrong. I want to return evil for evil, Lord. That's wrong. Confess it. Be forgiven. And remember, although he is making you holy in different spots, bits and pieces, you're getting more and more and more. We're not there yet, but he will complete the job. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. That term, he will bring it to pass, I didn't mention this, but it is literally he who also will do it. Who also will do it. He's going to do it. So is Christ working in your life? Is he doing it? The only thing that's stopping that is you. Let him do it, because he is going to complete the work. Just be a willing participant, and you'll praise him all the more when he completes the job.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Greg's message today is from his series in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, what's the application for us today?
Well, Dave, it's simply this. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. So then, just yield to the Lord and allow him to do his great work in you. Let him, through his word, equip you for every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.